truthfully, what happens is, as children grow up, we start to educate them progressively from the waist up. And then we focus on their heads, and slightly to one side.
I think in the old days, you know, you were better off. Because nowadays, they're all specialists. Everyone's becoming better and better, and less and less. And eventually, someone's going to be superb at nothing.
Our education system has mined our minds in the way that we've strip-mined the earth for a particular commodity. And for the future, it won't serve us. We have to rethink the fundamental principles on which we're educating our children.
We're not here to tell everybody that they're wrong and we're right. We're not saying that we have all the answers, but we'd like to present a different way of looking at it.
Okay, so we're back with Leo Chin. And we're going to be continuing this series, looking at Chin's upcoming interview for becoming a professional teacher of the Chinese language overseas. Chin, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you.
Your students always ask you questions unrelated to Chinese learning. What will you do in this situation? Your students ask you lots of questions completely unrelated to learning Chinese. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it's fine for me because even though I am a Chinese teacher, I want students have the passion to ask questions, any questions, really any question. If I can answer them, I will be very happy to answer those questions. Really, I shouldn't say, because I am a Chinese teacher, you can only ask me questions related to Chinese. A teacher shouldn't be like that, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think the teacher has to use the discretion. Is the question a silly question? Mm. Is it a serious question? Mm. Is it an interesting question? Yeah. And of course, a couple of questions can be answered. If it carries on, then, you could say I can answer that after the class, perhaps. And move on.
You mean it's in class? They ask you questions unrelated?
Yes, I think this would be in class time, yeah.
Oh, class time.
So, but I think you're right to suggest that you'd answer them if it was
quick answer. Yeah, maybe if it is quick answer, I answer them, right?
Yeah, to show you're interested in them, not just interested in teaching Chinese to them. So, again, I think be sensitive, but also be knowledgeable to the fact that, maybe this question is taking us a little bit off point. Mm. Like a minute ago, earlier when you were talking about Santa Claus, a lady protesting against Christmas, that really didn't have anything to do with a tea ceremony. But of course, it was an interesting debate. But as long as it doesn't take over the class, I don't think there's anything wrong with answering a question.
If they feel it's wrong, maybe it's take too long time, and you can't finish your teaching task. It's because of this. This is a reason.
Mm.
This should be the reason. Yeah. Sometimes just like you can't digress, right, in your class.
Yeah, I think there's just got to be that the
balance.
Way up,
yeah,
the balance.
You have to balance.
Which really, being in the classroom, you can only really truly experience, I think. Some pages of your PPT show, so your PowerPoint, show a website, and some students ask you whether it needs pay or not. So I guess they're asking you, do I need to pay to use the website or to get the information? Strange question. What will you do in this situation?
So the PPT is mine or somewhere else?
Doesn't say. Some pages of your PPT show a website and some students ask you whether it needs to be paid or not. What will you do? Strange question this is.
Actually, if it is my PPT, I think the students can use it free, really. But if it is on the website need you pay to get this. Maybe it's, the students got to pay to get this. Yeah. But I will make sure if it is possible for them to use those paid PPT. Yeah, maybe they can find something else, not the paid PPT, right?
Well, I think we're talking about the website here, but...
Website?
The answer is quite illuminating. Okay. So if this happens, and I really don't know what's happened here, listeners, to begin, you should explain to your students where these pictures come from, and you said that you marked it. It is from other people's resources, or it's from a public website. Then if your students continue arguing that you should tell them you can talk with them after class, and you can have the class firstly, which just means carry on with the class. Moreover, you should reflect yourself after the class and pay more attention to such an issue, avoiding such a mistake next time.
Can't understand.
Yeah, I am as well. I can't understand. Could you possibly let your teacher know that we can't understand question number 17?
Because I quite can't understand the answer. Yeah, because the answer is... No, yeah.
Well, you try reading most of the answers to these. Maybe, I can't even understand.
Maybe because the question is not, it's not correct.
I would surmise that maybe you're showing some information to students, and it's based on a website, and the resources you're showing are from a website, but the website, to get the resources, you have to pay.
Yeah.
Well, if you've got the resources already, then obviously you've paid, or the school's paid, to get the resources already.
Mm.
So if the students wanted something from the website, I'm sure that could be arranged through your account that you already have to get that resources to them. Again, I can't see what else the question is really driving at. How can you choose a proper textbook for your Chinese course that you're going to teach? How can you choose a proper textbook for your Chinese course?
Yeah, when I choose a textbook for my Chinese course, I will according to what kind of students I will teach. Are they adult or are they children? What kind of Chinese level are they? They are basic level or advanced level? Yeah. This is very important. And then I will choose something, you know, I will also take some other reference, you know. There's even though for children or for adults, there are so many different kind of textbooks there. I will look through them, then find the one the suitable for me and also suitable for the students. Yeah, and then I use this kind of textbook to teach them.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think that's a good answer.
Mm.
And I would hope that in your instruction to your students, just on my experience, that you don't always just stick to the textbook, but also add in, like we were talking earlier, some more cultural elements, some putting clothes on and eating mooncakes and stuff like that. It's not just constantly going through a textbook, because I do find from my Chinese learning that I've done, a lot of the textbooks are very bland. I find them very uninspiring, because we all learn in different ways, don't we? We're not all so good at just going through a textbook and listening to a CD or a teacher just copying the textbook.
So do you like your textbooks when you learn Chinese?
No.
Why?
As I said, I just think they're very bland and
boring.
Yeah, I would say quite boring. Yeah, they're all very. A lot of them are all very much the same. That standard, like they've all been copied, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I prefer, for example, listen to podcasts or something that I can do when I'm on my bike or exercising or something like that, out and about. I find that's better. But really, for any language, you can't beat getting out there and just trying the language. Of course, it can be quite difficult in China, because if you don't say your tones right, then generally all you hear back is ting pa dong.
Yes.
It's just where
but if you try, always try.
You've been told to cover a lesson for your colleague, but when you are about to start, you suddenly find you were wrongly told, because what you've prepared is not for the lesson today. Dun, dun, dun. What do you do next? So you've been asked to fill in a class, you've been given a plan, you've planned, and then you found out that's not the plan for the class.
Yeah, it's a quite embarrassing situation.
Oh, embarrassing.
Really, huh? Because if you give a lesson, you do not prepare very well, maybe, it's a big challenge for you, really. Actually, this kind of situation, before the teacher asks you to cover a class, you got to make sure, really. 100 make sure what's the class you were going to teach, really. Which lesson you will teach, not just go straight and then you found.
That is true, but this has happened, so what are you going to do?
Try to make it up. You have no choice. You can't tell the students, this is not my plan, I can't give you the lesson. Then maybe you change the class to something you can handle, such as give them some tasks, really, to do, organize students to have some activity, to have a debate, something like that, or give them some test or some other thing to do, really try everything to make it up. Really, for example, you can do a little bit change of this class, and also tell them because your teacher gave me the wrong class to prepare, then I cannot give you the... Yeah, you got to explain this to the students.
Wouldn't that lose face for the teacher?
Yeah, of course, you got to let them know. It's not because this is
his problem. Do you think you really need to let them know? I mean, that's just a class. To tell them that the other teacher has given you the wrong plan is not so... I wouldn't say
it's
that.
It's not good. Right?
Well, I mean, you tell me, would you...
Yeah, you shouldn't hurt the other teacher.
Would they
right?
do that in... I don't... Was that a cultural... Would you do that in China? I mean, is that a... Because that would lose face, wouldn't it, of the other teacher, would it not? Or maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, maybe the other teacher would do not feel good.
Yeah,
but...
Well, they're not there, are they?
Yeah, they're not there. They're not there. And but if you do not say that, you will feel not good, right?
Well, okay, there's some other ways I'm just thinking on my head here. So there's a couple of other things you could do. One is you could ask what they did in the class before. And that would get some good interaction because it would start to rehash the learning of the last class. Yeah, what did you do in the last class? What did you discuss? What did you learn? And then on that basis, you could maybe use the lesson to enrich the learning of that previous class, because I'm sure it would be something you'd know. You know, you're filling in for them, you teach Chinese, so you could do that. So you could enrich the previous class and interact like that. The other thing you could do is the class that you prepared for, you could actually do, and then the next class, the teacher who might be back from sickness or something can do the class that he prepared but didn't tell you to do. So there's that way. And of course that depends. Does this class you've prepared have to go after the class that the other teacher's still got to prepare? Do you know what I mean? Is it something, you know, they're building up and developing knowledge? So if you did this class you prepared for now, would it be too high level for them? I don't know. But that's another strategy. And the other one, of course, is like you said, like we say in England, we could wing it, blag it. You could just come up with something. And I think that would also be possible for a Chinese teacher, because you'd have done lots of classes. You could even ask, what would you like to do today? Give students a choice for this one period class. And make it a special different kind of lesson. But I don't think that was a big problem. I think within what you've talked about and what I've mentioned, you could easily come up with a good solution where you wouldn't need to tell the students about the fact that teacher has given you the wrong class.
The wrong class.
Yeah, I can't see a situation where that would be necessary. I don't see any advantage in that. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree with that. But sometimes if the because when Chinese people are in overseas, they always be very careful. They want to take responsibility of something they shouldn't take responsibility.
Oh, that you mean you don't want to take responsibility for something you shouldn't take responsibility. Yeah,
that's
mean that.
Why
yeah.
they feel they should explain this to students and explain this to the even to the teacher. Yeah.
Yeah, that would make living in China and seeing how that works. I completely understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But I would certainly, in my opinion, from my kind of culture, I would say that we would do those other things before.
Yeah, you're right. If the teacher, he's good enough and qualified enough, he can handle everything, right? Mm.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I think if I was ever going to say, oh, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so gave me the wrong lesson, you could make it like as a funny joke, in a joking kind of way. But again, how long's a period? 45 minutes, 50 minutes? If you do all this, you're hardly going to have any time to teach. So best to just get on with it, crack on and have a fun class.
Yeah.
And again, sometimes planning's essential, but sometimes we don't plan and we come up with ideas that we wouldn't have come up with if we planned, I found anyway. But good. Some good answers there. Great, let's move on. And some good little cultural bits there as well, I think, for listeners to get hold of. I'm sure some would very much, equate to. Certainly. The idea of responsibility in China and how it's perceived, I think, is quite different from how it's perceived, certainly in England and in the West.
So what's the difference?
Well, I think that's a huge question for a podcast in itself. But I feel in China, responsibility is very, you don't want to be seen to have made a mistake. So like in the workplace, you won't do a certain thing because it's not your responsibility.
Mm.
It's the other person's responsibility, and you're in charge of your particular responsibility. Yeah. Everyone else is responsible for their responsibility. Whereas I think from certainly where I've grown up in is, yes, you may have responsibilities, but there are other responsibilities that maybe you're not responsible for, but they can also be your responsibility if that person maybe hasn't done it yet, or that teacher has made a mistake in the planning of the class. And although it's not your responsibility, you do have the chance to be responsible for making sure that his mistake doesn't become apparent. Mm. It's a very big question, and I think it's one that drills deep into the very different mindsets of East and West in a very generalistic term. I'm not saying any is right or wrong, but they're certainly very different.
Yeah,
and they all have advantages and disadvantages.
Yes.
From my perspective, I just think trying to... For me, it's more about thinking about the whole as opposed to just the pieces.
Okay.
And sometimes... even though the whole isn't your responsibility, just in my feeling of just caring about a consequence that might affect someone else, I would, for example, I would reach down and I would pick up the litter on the street and put it in the bin, even though it wasn't my litter and I'm not responsible for it. Maybe the person picking the litter up is responsible for it, or maybe the person who dropped the litter is responsible for it. But I would certainly just say, well, I can be responsible for picking that litter up, and then the other person can go on and pick other litter up because I've done that for him. So in my feeling is there has to have a feeling of this. There's a care and responsibility comes into it. just an awareness of a greater greater good.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your opinion on that? You know, China, you don't want to be seen to lose face a lot and to be made, how should I say, to get into trouble for something that you're not responsible for. I don't know, can you give us some insight into that?
Yeah, sometimes if you do not explain, the misunderstanding will happen. You know, in China, people often, there's a lot of misunderstanding happened because people do not speak something outspoken.
Right.
Yeah. If they speak something outspoken, maybe it will avoid misunderstanding. If the misunderstanding going on and people do not make it up, maybe have more serious consequence, really. That's what my life experience always. If there's a mistake, try to solve it. If there's a misunderstanding, try to solve it instantly, really.
Mm. I don't know if there's also like a kind of a, how do you say it? Like a pride issue in it as well. Mm. I mean, you know, many people I find here don't want to be seen to have made a mistake.
Maybe it's because of the education. You know, Chinese education always let students do not make mistake.
Mm.
If you got, if the full school is 100, a pupil got 98, scored 98. The teacher or the parents often say, "Oh, you still need two more to improve."
Why?
Yeah, you're not good enough, and the focus more on mistakes, so you can't. You know, Chinese education is try to make everything perfect,
mm.
especially for the test. And this kind of mindset makes them, in their life, they don't want to make mistakes.
So if you don't want to make a mistake, then you don't want too much responsibility. So you just stick to what you're responsible for, because then you have a less chance of making more mistakes, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So, for example, let's wrap this back.
Mm.
When you go into that classroom and you realise that the teacher is giving you the wrong information and you've planned the wrong class, is it better to tell the students that that teacher made a mistake, because then you absolve responsibility for it, so you don't be seen as making a mistake? So you basically come out without making a mistake, and that's... Could that be the reason that you would have that mindset to tell the students that before the class?
I think the best way is to try to make it up, try to handle this. If you feel it's very difficult, if everything's wrong, it's very difficult for this, I think the explanation is necessary at the beginning. Then you try to find some other way to continue this class.
So you think it's necessary at the beginning to let the students know that what you've planned today is not for the class that should be, and that it's not your mistake, but the teacher before...
Yeah, you don't need to say it's not your mistake. You can tell them, because your teacher gave me a wrong plan of this. Yeah.
So by saying that, then you've moved the error onto the other teacher who's not there. So that allows you to not be seen to have made a mistake. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
That's essentially it. So I want to ask you this. Based on what we've talked about, in China, if that happened, would that be a normal action that the substitute teacher who comes in, they've realised the other teacher's made a mistake, which is... made them have a situation where they might be seen to have to make a mistake? Would the cultural thing be, in most cases, that you would explain, like you said, best to communicate, not let it go, you know, undercover, communicate that, unfortunately, that teacher's not giving you the right information, so that teacher's made a mistake, and let's continue now. Do you think that would be a very normal thing? Do you see that a lot in China, not just in a class, but you know, in any situation where someone's had a problem and they...
From my experience, if I do not do this, maybe I will get more trouble of myself. Yeah, I feel it's better. I should do it like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, this is what I think is wonderful, these chats we're having over these questions. And why I think this podcast should be put out there, because it really does give a great insight into the different perspectives.
Because I have this kind of experience, even though it's not teaching. I have some other experience. When I was in Australia, we had a dance group, you know that. And then they, because I had saw dance, and also I performed by myself and some other dance member, they performed dance. Yeah, and I took video for them.
Performed what?
Dance.
Who said bass?
Dance.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I took video for them, and but there's someone else, a husband before me, and his head is bald.
Yeah.
And his bald head always in my camera. So normally I do the after I took video of the performance,
yeah.
I send to the group. But at that time, I didn't send to the group. I know the one who, you know, I know the dancer whose husband is bald. She wouldn't like that.
Mm.
Yeah, to show everybody her husband's bald head.
Right.
Then I send this video to the team leader directly,
yeah.
Because they always want me give them the record,
the video, yeah,
the
yeah.
video. And then the leader found one of the dancer didn't dance very well because she made a lot of mistakes.
Mm. On the video.
On the video.
Mm.
But I didn't know that. After I took the video, I sent to them. I even didn't see it.
Yeah.
And then the leader told the dancer, said, "Someone tell me you didn't dance very well." And then the dancer who didn't dance very well asked me directly and said, "The leader tell me, someone tell
mm.
her she didn't dance very well."
Right, yeah.
So I don't know how to explain this. I didn't tell the leader she didn't dance very well.
Yeah.
And later, the dancer was very unhappy because I didn't explain to them. When she told me, she didn't ask me, "Do you tell the leader I didn't dance very well?"
Yeah.
Actually, there's only me there took the video, stand there to watch, because
yeah.
I have one performance there by myself, and the rest of them do another performance.
Mm.
So it's I never see that. And also the dancer, she treat me very well, always give me a ride, and
mm.
always, you know, she really helped me a lot.
Right.
So she was very unhappy, very hurt, I can feel. She said, "Oh, I treat you very well, and you say some bad words to the leader." She was very unhappy.
She said that to you?
She sent this to the... Very subtle. She sent this...
Yes, very indirect, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, indirect on WeChat. And I feel very hurt. I don't know how to explain
that. Can I just ask, I might be wrong, but I've got this
yeah.
huge inkling
yeah.
that this person, the dancer and the dance leader, they were Chinese.
Yeah, they're all Chinese.
Yeah, well then it's very, again, coming back to, so how did you solve the situation? Or how would you have solved the situation? Because that obviously didn't get better, yeah?
I didn't solve this.
That's terrible, that's so silly, isn't it?
And then this make me... you know, because I can't tell them it's because the leader, she, because I didn't see it. It's not my mistake. It's the leader's mistake.
Yeah, you can't say that.
I can't say that. Then, you know, the relationship between me and the dancer, very worse later.
Yeah, it's
because she said, oh, I'm such a bad person. She treated me so well, and I say some bad words behind her. But I never did that.
So my time in China, I've come across many Chinese friends or, you know, non-Chinese friends that have talked about these very similar situations of the way people react or communicate with each other and behave with each other. There's this kind of, it's very cultural, this. And personally, it's horrible. I find it very upsetting to hear this.
I think it's because she didn't ask me directly. If she asked me, did you tell the leader I didn't dance very well? At that time, she didn't ask me directly. She said, someone told her, the leader said, someone told her she didn't perform.
Didn't you tell her, well, it wasn't me? You don't say that?
Because she didn't ask me directly, so I didn't say anything.
But
I say she just want to explain something.
Okay, that's
and later I found this situation is very, you know.
That's interesting, because the way I would see that is, if I came up to you and said, oh, someone told me I dance very badly, and you didn't say anything, which you didn't, I would have more reason to believe that it was you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's because I'm very stupid, right?
Well, no, but that's just from my point of view.
Oh, I just say...
Whereas if you said it wasn't me, you know, I thought you danced fine. You know, I was taking the video, it wasn't me. Then straight away, she could still think it's you, but you've said your cause, yeah?
Because at that time, I feel I shouldn't be that sensitive. If he come to me, maybe he didn't mean to, it's me.
No, but in my opinion, you would have the opportunity to suggest to her that it certainly wasn't you, because by saying it wasn't me would show a support for her. Yeah. For example, if my wife came to me and said, oh, that class that dance show I just danced in, I didn't think I did very well. I wouldn't say nothing. I wouldn't just be very, how do you say, the words, aloof. I wouldn't just, you know, I would say, oh, don't be silly, you did fine, it was great, people enjoyed it. So there's a situation there. So did you ever remain friends with her, or?
I see.
Did you go in the car with her again?
Yeah, still.
But it was frosty, yeah?
Yeah. Still, but I feel our relationship is, make me...
But again, you know, I think a lot of the time, communicating, you said it earlier, expressing your feeling instead of just allowing it to just, you know, very zen, just let it pass, can actually cause more trouble than if you... You know, then if you do say something and express your opinion, again, it's the balance of life, isn't it?
If I tell them clearly what happened, I send the leader the video. I didn't send to the group because of, if I tell them the whole processing, maybe it's not my responsibility, it's the leader's responsibility, because she didn't, you know, say something... irresponsibility, right?
What I certainly am responsible for is making sure this podcast doesn't go on far too long. So we'll bring it to a close, and we'll start up another session with some new questions to go on from there, Chin. And if you see a bald man watching a dance show, probably best to stay away. If you enjoy listening to the China Jedi podcast and want to get involved, either by asking a question, expressing your opinion, good or bad, light or dark, or even appearing as a special guest, then get in touch by emailing our team at info@chinajedi.com. That's info@chinajedi.com.
May the smile be with you.